Welcome to the 21st episode of Radio Thule in the Pan-Nordic podcast from nordiskradio.se. My name is Lucas Lindgren, and with me today are Andreas, Halvdan, and Tarje. Hello, guys.
Good evening.
Hey.
Hello. We've been on a pretty long break. I've been trying to drag you in front of the microphone, but you were just saying that you had a new Pokemon game that you need to play.
Yeah. Don't they release like one game every year or something?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe more than one.
Yeah, the last one I remember was like XY or something. That's probably like 10 years ago. But yeah, no Pokemon games, I believe. Yeah, it's been a pretty long summer. Pretty hectic one too. But yeah, we're back. It's probably been like 3 months or something. I don't know. And we're mostly going to talk about the Swedish election that's due on the 13th of September. But we might also talk a bit about the Nordic days, which also were this summer, and yeah, some other things. But a pretty nice thing to do might just be to talk a bit about the summer, if people have done anything interesting or so. I know that you, Andreas, you've posted pictures and tried to get information on what people have done during the summers. So you can start.
Yeah, I've been a real, like an intelligence agent trying to force people to show what they're doing. But yeah, myself, I've been wrestling with the animals here. We got chickens this summer, like the natural way. I just picked up a chicken one day, and then I thought an egg was like stuck underneath her that dropped to the floor, but then it started moving and making sound.
Okay.
Shit. So
didn't you say that people have told you that you need like a machine for getting egg hatch?
What's it called? Like an egg hatcher. It's the direct translation anyway. But anyway, like a machine that they put the eggs in to hatch them.
That seems pretty weird because we had chickens when I was little, and we always like hatched them the natural way. I believe like some of the last years we had them before we moved, we used one of these machines. Mm. And then I had the chickens in a terrarium in my room when I was like 12.
Nice.
But you just had them like so they could like grow a tiny bit, then you introduce them and so on.
Mm.
Always worked. They like, don't they lay on the eggs for like 20 days or something? 20, 30 days?
No, not that long. I think it's 2 weeks or something like that. 14,
yeah, it's not
days.
Long. Yeah, so but we've never had any troubles with the natural way, at least.
In the Swedish podcast, Radio Nordfront, one guy told me that, you know, the more like exotic races or whatever you're gonna, or whatever you want to call them, like we have an English race, so they I don't think they're not as capable as of laying on the eggs for that extended period of time. But if you have like old Nordic races, they are better at it because they haven't been bred, so they haven't lost as much of their instincts, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
And we have some mixed race mutt chickens that, and it was one of them that laid on the eggs until they hatched, or at least until two of them hatched.
Yeah.
But since chickens are also good at finding ways to die, one of them escaped the cage and walked into a mouse trap, which was pretty sad. But
so you're becoming a chicken farmer.
Yeah, it will seem so. But
what kind of mousetrap was it? You must have big mice. I mean, if you can kill a chicken.
Chicken, but you're not, not a fully grown chicken, but what? Were you saying?
Yeah.
Baby, is there an English word for it, by the way?
Chick. Yeah. Is it a chick?
Oh, yeah. Well, chick, of course.
Mm. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, not a fully grown chicken, no.
Some Finnish mice there, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the chicks are pretty good at dying also. And like the chickens, killing the chicks, like pushing them out of the nest or like trampling them or something.
Mm.
Rats as well. They can,
yeah, exactly. Yeah, I've experienced sometimes where like another hen might like hack another chick to death and so on. They're pretty brutal animals, but they lay a lot of eggs and they get a lot of chicks, so they have to spare, so to say.
Yeah, but nature is cruel that way.
Yeah, yeah. But it's the same with ducks. Like at the start, when they get the ducks have their chicks, they might start out with like 8-10, and then at the end of the summer or whenever, it's like 3 left.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, the chick is white anyway, but the mother is not. So fantasy working that way.
Yeah, they're very colorful animals. You can get a lot of different motifs,
and they're also nice. They're always relaxing to look at. You can't be like being in a bad mood when you see them being retarded outside.
Yeah, they are very funny animals, and
extremely.
I've always liked chickens. They are like the most. Sheep are pretty cozy too, at least when they're nice and not trying to ram you. But the thing with chickens is they can be a bit. You need to be pretty social with them. If you don't like spend time with them, they might get afraid or so on, or be pretty suspicious of you. And they have the tendency to be pretty loud and stressed and so on. But that's just because they're prey animals. So
Yeah. And if you think they're calm, I mean, we had we hatched out 9 chickens and we had 7 roosters. So
Yeah.
Got a bit noisy.
Yeah, and that's the biggest trouble with having chickens. You need to like kill off all the roosters.
Mm.
They got a bit chaotic.
Yeah, because you can't have too. You can't have too many roosters.
We actually have 2 right now, and it's going pretty well. But
yeah, 2 is pretty all right. Then you have like the alpha and the beta, and then like the beta can have like a small part of the flock, or just be like a support.
Mm.
But yeah.
But at the end of the day, like you know, they're an expense, right? I don't think they provide that much more. I mean, you have the rooster to guard and make the women a bit more confident, but yeah.
They don't really. They guard in the way that they maybe signal danger. Some roosters can like probably attack a cat or something. They are pretty like. Rooster fighting, like when they arrange fights between them, they can breathe pretty hard, and some roosters can draw blood if like they get to your leg, but they can't handle big animals, but they can probably like chase away a cat or at least have the cat kill them and not the hens or something. So, yeah.
Or a little hawk as well.
Yeah,
they're not that useful, but it feels like it's more natural having a rooster around.
Yeah, and then like, you get like, chicks constantly, right? I mean, then you have, if they're not very smart and a few die, as they do, then, I mean, they stop laying as much, like, after the second year, it falls off quite a lot. So I think it's quite good to have a good self-reliant stream. I don't know about how it is in your countries, but in Denmark, it's quite expensive to get a pure blood chicken. From if you want to get it at when it's ready to lay,
yeah, I don't know. You can get them for like 50 euros a piece, but you just buy them from someone. Like if you have contact, something like that. I don't know if there's any like official places where you can buy. by chickens. But maybe it works differently in Denmark.
No, I mean, you have like the bigger ones that just mass produce. And the ones that, I guess it depends what race as well. I mean, if you get a normal one, then I guess they can be quite cheap as well.
Mm.
So you've just been looking after this one chick then the whole summer, or you said you had chicken troubles?
Well, yeah, the usual. They've been escaping and going, picking on the neighbor's flowers and stuff like that.
Okay. Yeah.
They always start escaping. They're pretty content during summer, I guess, because the grass is fresh. But once everything starts dying, they start wandering off. I guess they're looking for some better food, I guess. That's my theory anyway. Because in the summer, they just walk around here at home.
Yeah, yeah. You don't have any fence or anything? You just they can just wander.
No, we have fence, but there's some holes in it that I've been patching.
Yeah.
As I find them.
Yeah, yeah, and they can jump really high. Like we got a big race as well. I think as big as yours. They almost never do it. But if they need to, then they can jump. Oof. So it was over 2 meters. That's for sure.
Yeah, well, they can almost fly, like fly for a little bit.
Yeah, some can actually fly pretty far, like across the yard at least. I remember them like having impressive capabilities of flying compared to what you think they can do. So yeah.
I would think the Nordic smaller races, like the Lantros, are better at flying, but the English race that we've got, they're so fat, so I don't think they're flying that far.
Yeah, no, I don't think, yeah, there's a big difference for sure.
I haven't done that many, like, cozy things. I've been a bit out in nature and so on, but not been that close to animals, I believe. I've mostly done activism. I visited Gotland this, like, politics week in Almedalen for, like, 3 whole days and so on.
Okay.
And it's been like the Nordic days, and it's been Pride Stockholm, like the biggest pride parade in Sweden. Or no, in the north, I believe. It's like 50,000 people. And also been around doing activism, like in Dalecarlia, like on the countryside, you could say. So I've been a bit all over the place and so on.
Yeah.
And like had a traditional midsummer, you could say modern traditional or something.
Ate lots of good food and drank a lot of alcohol.
Yeah, yeah. One could say that, absolutely. Too much alcohol some days, but yeah, it's summer.
Yeah.
Did you see anything in Gotland? Or I wanted to go there for a while.
Yeah, we went to like the wall and so on, and like climbed a bit on it and looked around. We went inside the church, and when we were in the church, like a group of some old people like sang and so on. So the ambience was actually pretty cool.
Okay.
Gotland, that's the island, right?
Yeah, exactly. The one they are constantly fearful of the Russians bombing or something.
Yeah, did you notice
anyone getting killed? They talk about. No, actually not. But
they've had some ridiculous shit there before, where they've been driving around.
Yeah, we
tanks,
didn't
like on the streets.
Yeah, we didn't notice it there, but our members who live there, they notice it.
Yeah,
it's pretty big now with joining NATO and spending a lot of money, so they notice it. But yeah, I think the military had like their tent there and so on, as they usually do. And it's such a weird thing, like having the military stand on the streets and then having a lot of like and stuff running around. It's like, yeah, you're not really handling the invasion. You're not doing your job. But they're bad at their jobs. I also saw at the Pride Parade, the military. They're always there. Like, the police didn't get to have their uniforms. So they had, like, a fag t-shirt with, like, colors on it when it sets. Yeah. And it said police. So it was basically a uniform, but it was a t-shirt. But the military could have their uniform. So.
Yeah, well, can you really be mad that the police are there? I feel like that's the right place for them.
Yeah, we stood a bit far away this time at the Pride Parade, and that was actually good for your psyche.
Yeah.
But one thing that actually traumatized me a bit was like these like leather faggots who ran around with like dog masks. And then they held a big banner that said, when we fuck, we win. And that was pretty disgusting. All right. I actually like remember it at the top of my mind. It was so like degenerate that, yeah.
I think a lot of other things are happening when they're, you know, doing that as well. But
yeah, yeah.
Unfortunately, they can give blood now too.
Yeah, yeah, they've been nagging for a long time about that. So, yeah, they're like still nagging about the 80s and so on. Like, yeah, you spread disease, we know. Like, calm down. a lot of furries also in like the younger generation, like complete furry masks and so on. So, yeah, there's a lot of weird stuff going on.
Yeah,
it's good that. Even though it takes a toll on your psyche, it's good that someone's showing some resistance towards that shit.
Yeah, yeah.
It's important.
Yeah, this time was actually pretty good because I had the ability to, like, look away and, like, we could change position. So, like, not everyone were standing against them all the time because we were, like, in another direction also. But, yeah, just looking through the pictures, it's the bottom of society. But yeah, one thing about that is afterwards we weren't able to like burn a pride flag because the city would like send a bill to us because like in the central of Stockholm city, like Sergels Torg, like whatever it's called, you couldn't burn stuff there. But two like lesbians tried taking a flag that we had ripped out, and then a few people ran and tried to get it back. It wasn't so serious, but the clip of that got 700,000 views on like Facebook Reels and over a million on Instagram, and. Yeah, it's been pretty funny. Some of the activists there have gotten, like, when their friends have seen them online and so on, they've gotten messages from them and so on. So it got viral in the real sense because, like, people recognize them and so on.
Mm.
Like, some activists, like, sister stopped talking to him after she saw him on that video, or at least got that angry. So yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought they got like positive responses.
No, no. But this specific family is pretty left-leaning. There's been positive responses also. So yeah.
So his family likes and nice.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a pretty interesting situation with this guy. His like father is a skinhead and his mom is a leftist. It's a pretty weird situation. And she like hanged out with skinheads before but didn't now, so yeah. Yeah, you know who.
Yeah, I do.
I also went to like a car show. It's called Classic Car Week in Rättvik. It's in the northish of Dolokhalia. We handed out a lot of stickers and so on. And there was an extreme positive response there. It was like, I think we handed out 1,000 stickers or something. The youth, some described it, I described it as like a skinhead concert, but it was like open air and it weren't skinheads. But it was, something like that.
Explaining the ragga culture would almost demand an entire episode on its own. But in short, you could describe it like a bit like biker gangs. Maybe they want to like rebel.
It's like rockabilly, car culture, but it isn't like overly American. It's not like totally American. It's more like
it has a lot of
Dixie flag and so on.
A lot of inspiration from America, but it's kind of been Nordicized, or especially in Sweden, in a way.
Yeah,
but it has the same
American, like every American.
Same like desire to be rebellious and a bit edgy.
Yeah, but it's like the better side of Americanism with the Dixie flags and South State and like the rebel stuff. But it's not like it's the original culture is American with the cars and maybe the Dixie flag and so on. But it's been Nordicized pretty much. It's not more American than the general public who like watches Netflix and do other stuff that comes from American culture.
No, it's just it's just more like obviously American, classically American.
But they don't really have the American mind virus in the same way.
Mm-mm.
So that's actually good. Yeah, that's enough about what I've done. So if anybody else has anything interesting.
The only things I've done this summer in terms of traveling was at the start of the summer when I went to the Dublin Migration Summit down in Portugal. Other than that, I've just been home, to be honest. Yeah.
Summers you just need to chill out.
I've even missed that there was something like that. When was that? In May?
It was on the 30th of May, I think. So I was there for like one more week after that and just stayed in Porto.
All right.
Yeah, I remember it.
Were there any
interesting
speakers this year?
Yeah, it was pretty decent this year, to be honest. But the seats were so horrible. So, my ass was hurting after like sitting there for like 9 hours in like wooden chairs and stuff. It was horrible.
I don't think you need like wooden chairs to hurt your ass after 9 hours, but
yeah,
it could definitely make it worse.
Yeah, that shit was brutal.
I could take the opportunity to shill. There's gonna be a remigration demonstration in Helsinki on the 9th of September.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's not too far away. Under a month.
Less than a month, yeah. So I might go there. I should go there.
If I can find some cheap airplane tickets, then maybe I'll go.
Yeah, yeah. Hit me up if you do.
Yeah, I will.
But I was joking. It's the 5th of September. I got the numbers the wrong way.
That's about the same thing.
Pretty much. Like a couple of days early, a couple of days too late. Who cares?
Any specific groups there, or
I was just
like organizing it.
I was just gonna check. I think it's the Blue and Black Movement organizing it. Yeah, there. So it's like the demonstrations on Independence Day, the Finland Awakens March. So the Blue and Black Movements are the organizers, but anybody that's friendly to the message is welcome.
Sounds like a good time.
Is it like a specific, why is it just in September? Is it like some special reason or just doing it for the fun of it?
There's not a special reason as far as I've seen.
Yeah. They're just doing it. Yeah, sometimes you just do a demonstration. It feels like all the big Finnish stuff is in like winter with the 6-12 March and so on. It seems like there isn't any big stuff in the summer. I don't know.
No. They had, before they had, I think that was the 18th of August, but that was to commemorate some victims of a terror attack that was in Åbo, a city in southern Finland, but that stopped now. So maybe this is kind of a replacement for that.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Like, the have done damage, let's send them home.
Absolutely.
And our usual friends, the leftards, have already started organizing their usual Helsinki without Nazis. So they're gonna gather on the same square, get beaten up by police, look retarded. Hopefully they'll ride over them with horses, and then we'll do our thing anyway.
Yeah, I remember one chant they do. It's like a Nazi, I mean.
It's the same shit that they sing in Sweden, but
so what does it mean? Like no Nazis on the street?
No Nazis to town X. No Nazis anywhere.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, because that was at some like specific. Yeah, it was the city. So yeah, but I actually like that chant. It's pretty. It has a good rhyme.
Oh Jesus!
But I think a lot of like red chants are pretty cool.
it's less bad than the Inga rasistar på våra gator, but it's still like
that one is really
give you PTSD. One
is not good. That was not good.
I guess you shouldn't say that.
I remember like the last Pride when they did like death to the IDF. That one, I actually got goosebumps from that one, because they actually like sang in a good voice. It wasn't like scream. They actually tried to have some bass.
I guess that's what they want to achieve, like be annoying and screechy.
Yeah. Oh. They have one chant against Christian Peterson, like alternative media guy, pretty Zionist, I would say, in Sweden, where they say Petersson över bron, en sista deportation.
Actually pretty funny.
Peterson over the bridge, one last deportation. That one is actually pretty funny.
So who are they going to deport before?
Yeah, I don't know. They do the Swedes first, I guess. White people are going to be deported and the Negers are going to be left. They are doing it like the wrong way, but yeah. They're communists, so they don't really understand such things.
So, yeah, whatever. I don't want to think about them anymore.
No, but it was... I actually want one thing about the Finnish Reds. They are, like, worse at screaming. Or they scream worse than the Swedes. I remember one video. Was it, like, when the Bloom Black Man went, like, walked beside the cemetery or something? Some red screamed in a way. It was horrible for real. It was extreme.
You meant that psychotic woman?
Yeah. Woman that was like... Yeah.
She had like a red, what's it called? Like the French hat on. Yeah, she was like for real insane. Oh, I guess they all are, but she just got like exposed because she was standing on her own. So you could see how insane she was.
Yeah, but it feels like there are more Reds in Finland than Sweden. It seems like they organize better, or like they at least try to counter protest. We're gonna talk a bit about alternative for Sweden soon, but they did like a thing in they've done like square meetings in big cities, announced it months ahead of time. Like in the Västerås, I was there. There were four of them, and maybe like 100, 150 from like us and Alternative for Sweden and so on. And some other time in, like, I think it was Stockholm, it was like 20 girls and 200 from Alternative from Sweden and just like regular Swedes. So yeah, it's bad for them in Sweden.
Yeah, there are a lot of Reds here.
Yeah, and the Nordic days. Yeah, and when you look at the Nordic days, it seems like they can't even drive on the road. So yeah, they're not doing good.
They need their hormones to function properly.
Yeah,
I shouldn't say properly. That's an exaggeration, but function somewhat.
Yeah, that's something for them. Yeah, I was thinking we're gonna talk a bit about the Swedish election. It's okay if the Dane and Norwegian here doesn't know that much about it, but it's June the 13th of September this year. And I'm going just to talk about a bit about Alternative for Sweden, because they've had impressive political work this election year. And it's pretty interesting with the like relationship between Alternative for Sweden and the resistance movement. I wrote some notes today, and it's pretty interesting how different Alternative for Sweden was created compared to the Nordic Resistance Movement. For like the Alternative for Sweden, it was an offshoot of the Sweden Democrats created in 2018, but I think they were like kicked out of the party like 2015, 16 or something like that. And they are actually running on a platform of like partial but extensive remigration on ethnic grounds, as well as anti-Zionism. They're really anti-Zionists. While the resistance movement is a strict national socialist movement formed in 97 out of the broader national socialist movement, whereas a part of it was underground at that time. And the resistance movement is running on a platform advocating for like a broader, more strictly racial remigration and explicit anti-Semitism rather than just anti-Zionism. But they are, if you just look at the surface of it all, they can look the same. But looking at the ideology, the parties are very different, or the movements. But anti-Zionism is very alike. Another big difference between these two parties is that Alternative for Sweden is strictly parliamentary, treating it as their like primary method of work. In contrast, the resistance movement sees parliamentary work as only one of many tools to advance their political struggle, with their main emphasis placed on extra parliamentary street activism. So they are quite different, with different perspectives and filling different niches, even though they share anti-Zionism and remigration. But yeah, the resistance movement is actually very tolerant and friendly towards Alternative for Sweden, especially over the last year with their like good anti-Zionism work. Gustav Kasselstrand has actually, the leader of the party Alternative for Sweden, has actually faced pretty heavy criticism from the Sweden Democrats. Not like the party say they don't really want to talk about him, they just say extremist, but their followers label him as Islamist, Putinist, extremist, Nazi, yeah, everything they can figure out. And even Erik Stryker has complimented Kasselstrand, the leader of their party, for his anti-Zionist work. And yeah, just comparing to the Sweden Democrats, they are much better, almost not comparable, even though they come from them. And but like, despite improving relationship between Alternative for Sweden and the resistance movement, they are still competitors within the nationalist scene. For instance, Kasselstrand has stated that National Socialism and the Nordic Resistance Movement inherently seek to persecute people on racial grounds, and that National Socialism is totalitarian, though how he reconciles this view with his own stance on remigration of non-Europeans is a bit of a mystery. And I and Andreas, we talked a bit about this before we started the show, that he wants to remigrate. He says different numbers every time, but he says like between 1 to 1.5 to 2 million. A lot of people on mostly ethnic grounds. He doesn't like want to kick out everyone on strict racial grounds. Like he says that if somebody has a good connection to the country, they might get to stay, but he wants to kick out as many so the demographic change of whites becoming a minority doesn't happen. But if he wants to kick out them, and he says himself that he wants to kick out people even though they don't want to. So you have to force people to be kicked out based on their ethnicity, partially at least. That's persecution in the system size. That is like basically.
I was just gonna say, what is he gonna do if they run away because they don't want to go back to Mogadishu? He's going to persecute them.
Exactly.
But it would be really interesting to have him explain this. Does he think that persecution is like that's the end goal? That's what the National Socialists want to do. I mean, we just want them out, but once they're out, they're not our problem anymore. Yeah. Then they can go be niggers somewhere else.
Exactly. And this answer came up in an interview where he was asked it on the spot. So, yeah, he might have just bullshitted something, but yeah, it's still what he said. And thing also is that you were going to say something, or...
I just wanted to add that he's like, I don't know, just like this one little strange slip up doesn't take away from all his other good
no, like, I don't really against really care. It's just a fun thing. It's a pretty absurd and fun thing to say, but it's not like the good things he has done greatly outweighs. He's because what he does, it's like Eric Stryker says about Tucker Carlson and so on. He doesn't turn the extremist, not mostly at least, turn like the National Socialist to not Nationalist Socialists. He turns like Boomer Sweden Democrats, he turns them to anti-Zionists. So he's a net positive.
Someone explained it like Tucker Carlson is in the special class and making the kids like smash with their hammers on, like in a more productive way, instead of just sitting around smashing their own fingers.
It's the bit the same here with Alternative for Sweden.
Well, I wouldn't know if that's really a fair comparison, but yeah.
No, but the thing is that because he has a more formal, he's presenting himself and his party in a formal way. He's more of a classic party. If we talk about the Nordic Resistance Movement, some would always almost call it like a paramilitary organization. It's absolutely not, but it's more militaristic. Alternative for Sweden is like this classic party, and by doing that, they attract more like regular boomers and Sweden Democrats and so on. A lot of their followers are like hardcore white nationalists, but he gets more of these regular people.
I get
a bit more of the special ed class.
I get what you're saying, but Tucker also gets the people who believes that the various vaccines will turn them into Belzebub and people like that. I wouldn't say that's really like Kasselstrand's audience.
No, some of them, when he's getting bigger, he did an interview just like a week ago with a guy, and he asked Gustav if he said that I believe in like the elites changing the weather. Do you believe it? And so on. And then Gustav had to say, we can see that they can change the weather a bit, like in stadiums when they don't want rain. So they can do it like on a small scale, but this like big scale, weather manipulation and whatever terms they use in chemtrails, that's a conspiracy. But if I see evidence for it, yeah, I can accept it. But I haven't really seen that evidence yet, and I'm not really that into it. I haven't really studied the topic.
So, okay, well, yeah. Fair enough, maybe a little bit then.
A bit, but that's because it's allowed on YouTube and the resistance movement isn't.
Mm.
We have a bit of that strain too, but yeah. But these conspiracy nuts, a lot of what they do is pretty good, and it's cool that they are. The best with them is when their conspiracy theories like go into juice. Even though they are crazy, it's fun. And they do. Like he did an interview just a few days ago with this guy who's really into like diet and so on, like against rapeseed oil, and he's a bit more conspiracy. And he talked they talked about 30 minutes about Epstein being like this literally Satan, like him a bit more like religious. It's true, so yeah. In that way, but I also thought that the thing is also that Alternative for Sweden originated within the Sweden Democrats and remained loyal to them until they were expelled following the conflicts with party leadership. They describe it as they are the original Sweden Democrats regards to like ideology and opinions and so on, and that's true. It's just that the Sweden Democrats changed when they got into the Reichstag and everything, and a bit before, that they just stayed as it should have been, and the party leadership changed their views, and then they got kicked out for not going with them.
Wasn't that conflict to a large extent about Israel too? About
he wrote a debate article in like 2013. Where he wanted a two-state solution. That was like the only thing he said. And that was a bit too much for the Sweden Democrats. And that's when the Sweden Democrats were not so Zionist. He said it himself. This was like before their real Zionist.
Or maybe it was just the turning point.
Yeah, yeah. When the Jewish money began to flow. And so they historically, because of this, they historically view themselves and still view themselves as Democrats. It's in the name, Sweden Democrats. He was the leader of the like youth organization for the Sweden Democrats. And these roots leave some people suspicious of them, but still most acknowledge that they are far more radical than the Sweden Democrats are not even in the same league. But most National Socialists, if not, no, we could say most, and people within the sphere of the Nordic Resistance Movement, they see it as obvious that the Resistance Movement is more trusting than Alternative for Sweden. Resistance Movement has had a National Socialist ideology for 29 years this year, 30 next, and Alternative for Sweden was created like 2018, and they only call themselves nationalists. They don't really have the same strict ideology, and their former party has been changed. The resistance movement has never been changed ideology in an ideological way. So yeah, some people see that as troubling. Another thing that they do that is pretty weird is that they often claim to be the only party standing against the EU, NATO, Zionism, the war in Iran, and similar issues, which isn't factually true. Part of the reason they make this claim is that they view the resistance movement's parliamentary efforts as unserious or so on. And there's been examples when the resistance movement has visited his like street meetings with party clothes on, the resistance movement's party clothes on, but just being like visitors, being nice and all. And he can still say from the stage that they're the only party that wants to do like nationalist stuff, and that gets pretty like laughable. Yeah,
and what's the point to it? Just
it's but basically... it's just because the resistance movement is so censored and so on. So when he says it to most people, regular people, it's easy to believe, and it's like he's comparing to the Reichstag parties, the big parties, and so on. But it's still so factually wrong. The resistance movement has a cultural part in the political climate of Sweden.
Mm.
Even though the resistance movement isn't like big in any way, it isn't, but it has like this cultural punching power, what you could say.
Mm. I heard one guy from the resistance movement went up to him and talked to him, to Kasselstrand, that is, and he introduced himself like, "I'm Mr. X from the Nordic Resistance Movement," and then he just like kind of paused and said, "Oh, all right, well, maybe this isn't something for you then." It's a pretty odd reaction. It's just one voter, but aren't you supposed to convince everyone?
Yeah, but it's he's also done good thing, like he takes selfies with the leaders of Active Club Sweden, and Active Club has pretty good collaboration with the resistance movement right now and so on, and does it all like in the open. So yeah but it's he has these weird like issues, and
just an odd thing to say. And
it's an odd thing to say.
Maybe most important of all, he went to the Iranian embassy for a meeting.
Yeah,
that requires like big balls in today's world.
Yeah, and he got a lot of hate for that.
Mm.
He got some threats also, but yeah, so that was really impressive. But yeah, if I remember correctly, I don't know if I should say that, but I know that someone from the resistance movement visited like the North Korean embassy.
Yeah, I remember that too. I heard the food was good.
Can you say that in the open? I don't really remember. Yeah, we might. Yeah, I think so. I don't know.
It's been said out in the open. That's why I know.
Okay, it has. Yeah. So the resistance movement has visited the North Korean embassy, and Alternative for Sweden has visited the Iranian embassy. So in that way, yeah, we're pretty third world is the both. So yeah. Yeah, but another thing Alternative for Sweden is saying about the resistance movement is just that just because they aren't focusing as much on the parliamentary work, it's unserious. And it's not like as good. They before like the last election 2022, I believe they said something like, "You have so few names on the list, the election list of people that can get elected compared to Alternative for Sweden, that it's not as good." But that doesn't really care. That isn't really a good argument, so on. But yeah, so I think there's been an undeserved amount of whining against the resistance movement being unserious regarding the political participation, just because they don't believe in parliamentarism. Because one big problem is that to suggest that one must somehow believe in and emotionally devote themselves to a parliamentary system controlled by our enemies, which is true, and we're likely around 20-30%. From like 18 to 25, something like that, of eligible voters are non-white is absurd. A lot of voters in Sweden are non-white. So the system it's fucked from the beginning. It isn't a good system. And Fredrik Weideland, the leader of the resistance movement, he said a very good thing in the Nordic days. He said, "Some might wonder why the Nordic resistance movement is running in elections. Don't we reject parliamentary democracy today? Yes, we do. However, we use every available means to advance forward. Another weapon in our enemies' hands is social media platforms. yet hardly anyone questions our use of that tool when we can. And I really like that quote because it's the same thing.
Good comparison.
Yeah, because like the parliamentary system isn't our system. It's full of non-whites, like a fourth probably. And even though they don't vote as much, because they don't understand Swedish and yeah, they don't really care and so on, it might be 1/5, it might be 20%. Even if it's 15%, if it's 30% non-whites in Sweden, let's say only 15% vote, it's still really bad. We can't accept that as our system.
And they vote as a united bloc as well.
They vote on a clan level. Yeah.
The imams tell them who to vote, and then they'll vote. I think so. They actually have a lot more for their punching power is a lot higher than just the percentage of the population, because it's so it's really hard. So.
Yeah, and it's 4% to get into the Reichstag. So and it's like the resistance movement uses it as a method and so on. And it's the same thing with like social media. Everybody knows social media is bad and you can't do everything on social media. Like the active clubs, a lot of movements are saying like social media, it's a good tool, but it's not everything. You need to do other things. Because we don't own it, it's not our system, it's unsafe. It's exactly the same with the parliamentary system. But another thing that Gustav Kasselstrand has said that is good is that you shouldn't vote tactically, as many people nowadays do, especially within the white nationalist scene where they vote for Sweden Democrats. Then you might say that they aren't white nationalists, and that's probably true, but it's around that scene. It's enough of people that we have to tell them not to do it because they're being retarded. So if you consider yourself a national socialist, you should logically vote for a national socialist party. And a good argument that Kasselstrand has is that if you constantly vote tactically and voting tactically, I don't know how you should explain that, Andreas, it's like you like one party more ideologically, but you don't think that they might come in or like have the tactics, so you vote for a party that you don't agree with but is like the best of the worst, so you vote for that party so that they can probably get parliamentary power.
You agree with them, but it'll be like on a major point, right? So they might not agree with a lot of the minor points, but they think immigration, they have strong enough policy on that, so I'll go with them, right? I think it's more that, isn't it?
It's like voting for the Sweden Democrats even though all the shit they do, because they say that they want to let less people in, and if you vote for the Sweden Democrats you can get power, or they can get power and actually do it. The smaller parties can't do it, so the only one that has a shot is the Sweden Democrats. But then when you look at today, they've had power in a way that smaller parties never could have for 4 years. And we let in like 90,000, 80,000 per year to Sweden. So, yeah.
Mm. I guess the argument is that if you vote for the Sweden Democrats, you're going to get less immigrants, they think. But then, of course, the opposite is true. You get 100,000 every year, so the flood never stops. But if you vote for a smaller party, for example, like Alternative for Sweden, you're wasting your votes on a party that isn't going to get in. And then you just like give the left parties like free roam to do whatever they want. I think that's more how people are thinking about it.
Yeah, I guess the argument would be that the Sweden Democrats haven't been in government yet. So do we need to give them at least one chance? I guess that's how they think about it.
Yeah, probably. Like with Trump, next 4 years is going to become the next Hitler.
Yeah. There are some parties in Europe, I could understand them, that they're thinking, like the AfD in Germany, for example, but the Sweden Democrats are not AfD.
No, not by a long shot. But yeah, I could see that too with, for example, like putting a brake on all this anti-Russia shit. AfD seems pretty serious about that. They don't I don't know, it might be bullshit too, but they genuinely don't seem to want to sacrifice the future of Germany for Zelensky's sake.
Oh yeah, AfD is very anti-Zelensky. Oh yeah.
Mm.
And also they have also helped like the mainstream, the re-migration in like the discourse in German the politics, which is actually a reason why the other parties in the government and stuff is trying to deban them. They have like officially designated them as extremists and now. So now they can legally put agents as infiltrators and like do surveillance and stuff.
Yeah.
That shit's, the German constitution is fucking crazy.
Yeah, it's not a German constitution. It's written by the Americans after the war.
Exactly.
But yeah, today is a lot more crazier than East Germany ever was.
East Germany, at least, was a German, the country almost. Yeah. Everybody was a German.
Exactly.
Yeah. Another argument that Kazakhstan has against these tactical votes is that if you constantly vote tactically, you never put pressure on the treacherous parties. Instead, you give them free validation when they could otherwise be pressured into noticing which way the wind is blowing. Then, regarding that, I think that the parties, the big parties, will always like follow the Zionists and like leftists and traitors and so on. But you can at least get them afraid and probably get them to give some things away, but putting pressure. But the real thing is putting pressure. You have to show that you don't play by their rules. You have to say that this is wrong. And if you like vote tactically for them, they don't feel that pressure. And even if the pressure doesn't get the result you want, you at least put it, and you can do something outside the parliament work that can probably be productive. And furthermore, like voting for what you truly believe in, it gives you a clearer conscience.
Yeah, I was just gonna say that's about the only argument you need. Like your vote is pretty pointless. We all know that, but at least it does something if you vote with your heart. So do that. Unless you're a f***, then don't vote at all.
Yeah.
So you recommend voting for all the listeners. Everyone should go out and vote for the Nordic Resistance Movement in Sweden. What if you don't have a party like that in your own home country?
If it's not anti-Zionist, I would just create a party. I don't know. If I lived in a country where the only nationalist party was Alternative for Sweden, I would vote for them. They are anti-Zionist in a way. He mentions the word goy, that Jews call white people goys and so on. So just by saying that, he gets my vote. But when you vote with your heart, I'm a National Socialist, so I will vote for the National Socialist. But if the National Socialist doesn't exist, I would probably vote for Alternative Sweden, but I would want to create something National Socialist in the future, at least.
He also mentions the Jews explicitly. Not that much, but I've heard him do it. That also scores a lot of good boy points.
Yeah, 100%. But one thing also that's a bit suspicious, but is that it's worth noting that the resistance movement is far more heavily censored and financially restricted than Alternative for Sweden. The resistance movement is banned from YouTube, lacks access to traditional bank accounts and any personal Swish accounts. Swish is a Swedish peer-to-peer payment platform, similar to like Venmo or Apple Pay or so on, used for the organization. And these like Swish accounts, they typically, people use their personal ones, and then they typically survive for only a few weeks before being terminated. And it's the same for all social medias. Alternative Sweden is allowed, the resistance movement isn't. The resistance movement is sentenced to a lot more hate speech, not like the resistance movement, the organization, but the people in it, because organization can't be like get under judicial scrutiny in that way. But it's pretty weird. I don't know that they are like control opposition because of that, but it's just unfair if you want to be childish looking at alternatives.
Sorry, isn't it just because that, you know, there's already the boogeyman, which is the Nordic resistance movement. You outflank them to the right, and they don't have enough reach to be a threat. Mm. So they're in this like purgatory state right now, where my opinion. But it doesn't mean
they. No, exactly. But the alternatives for Sweden still have censorship. Like regular media don't talk about them at all. They only get through in alternative media, and they get a lot of foul play against them. They do. So they are censored and they are worked against, but not in the way that the resistance movement is. It's like if you go to Alternative Sweden's website, they have like Swish, you can pay to them by bank account, and they have like card and so on. So but they still aren't, they are still repressed, but not in the same way.
Yeah, but it's a bit of a killer, isn't it? I mean, you really need like radical members if you're gonna like get really organic growth on social media and things like that.
Yeah,
if you can't be on television and the newspapers. And so.
Yeah, the thing with Alternatives for Sweden is they have been really good at recruiting young people.
Yeah, okay.
And they have a lot of young people at their meetings and so on. But these people like us too, and there's a lot of like intermingling between these people and so on. We are in the same milieu.
AFS like in the streets, scene. Nordic resistance in the sheets. Is that what you're saying?
absolutely. And just regarding the election, between these two white nationalist parties, the resistance movement obviously get the less votes. And because of this, much of the leftist and liberal media, they mock the resistance movement for continuing to run an election, giving the intense opposition censorship and the disadvantage and just poor results in citation, if you can say that, compared to other parties. But what many fail to grasp is that even like a poor election result offers an opportunity to spread propaganda, generate attention and so on. And even though the resistance movement has, just from outside, all of this media say that is it has gotten blows because of like, because the thing is that regular people and even members, elections, even though they are not our system, it's something with just numbers and getting votes, it ticks off something in our brains. So we get this expectation, and you work for it, so on. So people like white nationalists get sad with bad results, and they get more sad and more upset than they should be. But it's still a bit of a truth. So we've gotten blows. But another big reason for still going into elections is that being a legally registered political party in Sweden provides a degree of legal protection against outright bans on the movement, something those same liberals and leftists tried quite hard to accomplish in the late 2010s. It's been almost 10 years now, but they actually tried fairly hard to get the resistance movement banned.
quick side quest. In Finland they have a system. They have all these TV debates arranged like pretty standardized, as I guess they have in every country. But then they also have, for the small parties, they have separate TV debates, like the ones outside the Reichstag. And the Blue Black movement was actually in one of those debates last election, and it was pretty like a colorful. Very colorful participants there. Everything from Tuukka Kuru, which we've had on the show, the stand-up fascist, to like tinfoil hat hippies for like some retarded small party. But anyway, it was a pretty epic clip that came from that debate when someone accused him of being a racist and he said yes.
Yeah, I remember that clip.
Oh, you've seen it?
Yeah, yeah, I've seen it. I didn't understand anything because there weren't any subtitles, but I remember the clip and yeah, he getting this quick question and yeah, calling someone a racist. It's supposed to be a mic drop, but he said yes and then like people got mad or something.
Yeah, the person that said it didn't really have anything to say to him after that.
No. But it the you can feel like the atmosphere in the room just falling.
Yeah. Now I had him, but he slipped away.
Yeah. And it's a bit of a to the opposite in Sweden. I remember someone asking like a political commentator on. Public service in Sweden, working for the public service, like what about all these small parties? But they just basically said that the only ones, so it's only the ones over 4% that are interesting, and so they don't really care about these small parties and in that way. And so both Alternative for Sweden and the resistance movement is being worked against in a way where it's obvious that the system doesn't like white people. It's really obvious. Yeah, but that's my extended rant on like Alternative for Sweden. I've been following them for quite a while. They've done really good work this election year, and they've published a lot of, they've gotten a lot of interviews with different YouTubers mostly. And everything from like YouTubers with 50 to 100,000 subscribers down to like 500 or 200 or 1,000 and so on. So he really does interviews with everyone. He works hard during election years, that's for sure.
What should the approach of the Nordic Resistance Movement be? Maybe you already said it, but should they be ignored? Like, do we try to keep them on their toes, AFS, you know, with good questions and good criticism from us? Or we don't punch right? Or
it's been more competition between them in the past. Now it's more like just do your thing. When they say like some retarded stuff like that, National Socialism is totalitarian, but wanting to expel 1.5 million brown people isn't. And just that they are the only ones that were against the Iran war when there was an article on the Resistance Movement's website where they condemned the Iran war and so on. You can say that that is retarded, but they are generally really good in like their politics, just their anti-Zionism. They are anti-EU, NATO, Zionism. They are for ethnic remigration. So yeah, okay. I see no purpose in just being nag against them. It's just you can have this like normal way of just like competition. That's just normal, and call out one another when they do something weird. But other than that, just be nice against each other.
Yeah, and then keep an eye on them maybe if they get into parliamentary positions, right? Isn't that what happened with SP?
Yeah, the thing is, their goal is 1%. I think they got like 0.2 or 0.3% 4 years ago. They got 16,000 votes the last election. They got 20,000 votes 8 years ago. They need around 67,000 votes, I think, to get 1%. And because when you get 1%, you get like election notes, the one that you put in the box. You get those for free, and that's a very big thing, very, very big thing. They almost say that getting to 1% is halfway to getting to 4%.
Okay. Then it like, it scales. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it like scales because you get these good things. I think you also get money in some way. Yeah. And some actually believe that they will get 60%. They had a good year. I believe like max 30 max. They might just get 20, around 20 again. So it depends on the election. I think that either way, even if they do really bad or really good, I think it might be positive. If they do really good, like at 1%, 60,000 votes, I would say that's good for like white nationalist politics in Sweden. It's good for that, and maybe people can have a bit more fun again and feel more hopeless against for the future. If they do really bad, then that's good because people will see that the parliamentary system is fucked, the censorship is fucked, and just the system overall, and we need to fight outside parliamentary methods. We need to do something more, like the resistance movement. So either way, I think it would have a positive outcome. It's not negative, at least. But that's like my view on the resistance movement. Is there anything more you want to talk about? I could say just the Nordic Days, the Irish National Socialist, Justin Barrett, visited there. It was in Sweden, the south of Sweden. And I just want to say, hearing Justin Barrett speak is always really nice. He's extremely radical and uncompromising, and he has this like clear anti-Semitic tone. So he leaves very little to interpretation. He really names the Jew, you could say. And yeah, he took good jabs against conservatism and restrictive aesthetics. It 100% resonates with me. And yeah, overall, Barrett has a fascinating and horrific history of subversive activity within his own organization, carried out by the internal conservative enemy with external enemies funding and support. So that really makes you like listen when he speaks about these matters. And the ultimate betrayal of the cause is it's the least radical denomination what he has been, what has happened to him.
Do you know anything about his organization? It's called like Clan.
Clan Éireann.
Okay. But that's just like Nordic resistance movement in Ireland, or is it something?
Yeah, he's a national socialist. No, he's a national socialist. He said we talked about this, but when it was the conference last year in November. He said something about becoming a national socialist at 8 years old or something. That's at least how I remember it. Yeah,
that's been a dedicated life.
Yeah,
for the cause.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I really admire him as well, and his speeches are like a perfect mix of like poetic, aggressive, uplifting. Yeah, like I just like them. I would like to hear him speak someday live.
Yeah, absolutely.
Also, his "Go Be a Jew Somewhere Else" is legendary.
It's a classic. It's a classic. Absolutely. We had to be pretty strict about what to say and so on, because it's I don't really have anything more.
Well, I guess I could go through a bit what the established so-called nationalist party has been up to.
Yeah,
but Åkesson before the election cycle even began, he thought that they have pretty much achieved what they set out to do with coming to power but still not being in power. Like they are like a support party to the government that has some influence, allegedly. But yeah, it's kind of odd how it works. But anyway, he said there isn't much to do outside of a bit of tweaking when it comes to anhöriginvandring. What would you translate that like non-whites bringing
relative immigration?
Yeah, like
immigration of relatives,
basically like an anchor person bringing their relatives.
Yeah,
from...
it's like they send a spy and that's just some immigrant, and then he brings his whole family. So it's like an anchor or support so, pole or so, something.
So, like, some Iraqi grandma gets made. He wants to, like, not take in the un-Iraqi grandma, but outside of that, he's happy. 100,000 non-whites every year. And what he also had that episode where he dreamt about some anti-Semitic Arabs screaming, and he managed to jump into a mirror trying to escape his, like, Jewish Jewish creative and demons.
And he said that it was an anti-Semite too.
Yeah.
Or something. Yeah.
Screaming in a language he didn't know, but he thought he was, like, Middle Eastern or something. Basically, like a Hamas warrior torturing him in his sleep. but now he's, during his actual election campaign, he mostly is just driving around on a boat drinking beer through a famous canal in Sweden called Göta Kanal. In a fucking Hawaii shirt and a straw hat. He looks
living
like a
good life.
He looks kind of like a tourist you would laugh at some chartered trip to the Canary Islands or something like that. And with him, he often has like a hook-nosed, big-boobed young girl, which the Sweden Democrats are, like, by pure happenstance, put front and center in a lot of their commercials that you see on Facebook and a bit of everywhere. Her name is Denise Westerberg. And I got an ad from Sweden Democrats on Facebook where she tried some energy drink in a fucking jacuzzi.
So American.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just gooner bait. It's not even good.
No. And another, like, genius move is having a hot air balloon with the party leader Jimmy Åkesson's face flying around various parts of Sweden.
Yeah.
It's like, it's in totally unbelievable. How can a party be this retarded? Like, what are we going to do for the election campaign? Like, I don't know. Let's do something retarded and drink beer. Have they actually planned this any more than to that extent?
No, probably not.
They make the other, like, various European kosher nationalist parties look like the NSDAP by comparison.
Yeah, actually.
It's, I don't know, it's more retarded than Trump stuff almost.
Yeah, like, at least Trump is a good speaker, at least when he isn't like 82 or what he, yeah.
Yeah.
But at least he has some, like, patriotic energy. It's Jewish, but it is at least something. But the Sweden Democrats are like conservatives. Mm. They have like some guys like this Tobbe Andersson who can be pretty harsh sometimes, but it's not enough. It's not nearly enough.
No, they have their little pit bull that they can like release during election cycles. But the party leader himself is extremely tired.
Yeah.
Every second or third of his answers, I don't know.
Yeah,
that's like something. That's like something he actually says. I don't know. I haven't heard about this.
One retarded thing he said was he did like this bus tour, election work, campaign thing in the north of Sweden, and the north of Sweden is very social democratic. And he said outright to the media, like to the people there, that if it's too much of a hassle, too much mental work to go from the Social Democrats to the Sweden Democrats, you can vote for any of the other parties that the Sweden Democrats has collaboration with, like the Moderates, the Christ Democrats, and the Liberals, the same parties that have, like, created the mass immigration with Fredrik Reinfeldt in the Moderates. I believe also Fredrik Reinfeldt said when some Sweden Democrat got like really hurt physically by some Reds, like attacked, and he said that, yeah, stuff like that happens when you're racist, blah, 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 blah. So, and like these parties have created, they are like 45% responsible for all the in Sweden, and they have tried to stop and hated against the Sweden Democrats and everything, being total shit. Like the Prime Minister of Sweden right now, Ulf Kristersson, he said like in an interview when he was in the youth organization of the moderates like a long time ago, that he wanted immigration, more immigration. So just to say, to vote for like, not even conservatives, like liberals, they're almost like reds. It's stupid.
One of the parties is actually called the Liberals, you know. But he, this fucking dolt.
Led by an Arab.
Yes, an Arab with a Swedish-sized name. Like her last name is Muhammad, yeah, Muhammad, really, but it changed it to Muhammadson, based.
Yeah, but before that, they had a leader. No, it was before two leaders ago, like Nyamko Sabuni.
Yeah, all these parties, like, they're so shit that they had to change their leader.
And Arabs for leaders and
and this
so-called racists, Sweden Democrats are telling people to vote for them.
This like bum in his stupid straw hat says like, vote if you can't vote for my kosher nationalist party, if we're too radical for you, vote for the other blue and yellow parties, meaning like the colors of the flag of Sweden, which is this Muhammadson, like an Arab leader for the party, literally called the Liberals.
There's nothing national about those parties. Like those parties are the enemy.
Yeah. Anyway, I thought I've seen it all, but then this Himmler, as he's also called, comes along and does like I don't know how to describe it. Tops everything I've seen so far.
I think that will be it. We've talked for quite a while. We'll try to release this during August, before the election at least. And then we might talk about what happened after the election. But we might try to, the content is a lot of focus on Sweden if we only talk about election next month. So we might talk about something else too, something more timeless maybe. We'll see. That might be fun.
Yeah. I've gotten a lot of hate poured out for the conservatives. This episode feels good.
Yeah, that's good. I don't really have anything more. So we can finish up here. So good night to everyone.
All right.
Good night.
Good evening, good night. Bye.
Good night.
Good night.